Today's podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. Hop on over to paypal.com, look up joelbnew@gmail.com, and help Something New afford things like hiring an accompanist, booking studio time, an upgrade in recording equipment, and more. Any and all contributions go toward these production costs and are supremely appreciated. Thank you. Also, brand new to this season of Something New, we have premium subscriptions. As always, every episode of Something New comes to you for free via iTunes, Stitcher, etc. But if you give a little extra something, you get a little extra something. For the Gold subscription, you'll receive digital sheet music of all 15 songs that premiere this season in their original keys. And that's only $22.50, which comes to about $1.50 a song. Or exactly $1.50 a song. Platinum subscriptions, for $45 or $3 a song, you'll receive the digital sheet music plus an MP3 piano track for each song, so you can release your rendition of that song out into the world. And for diamond subscriptions, which are $75 or just $5 a song, you'll receive all of that plus a one-time transposition of each song plus audition arrangements. This, in my humble opinion, is a perfect investment for voice teachers, burgeoning musical theater writers, and Broadway musical nerds such as myself. Okay, awesome. And now to the show.
Are you working on something new?
Right, great. I love how you just did the obligatory, like, throat clear. That was something.
You're like the prep
you know,
moment.
You know. All right, here we go. Welcome, and thank you for joining Something New, a musical theater podcast. I'm your host, Joel B. New. I'm here at the terrific True Voice Studios NYC at Columbus Circle with an exceedingly talented friend of mine. We're going to chat a bit and then record a song from one of my latest projects, which will premiere right here for your listening pleasure. Today's guest artist has appeared off-Broadway in The Brightness of Heaven at the Cherry Lane, Greed, a musical for our times at New World Stages, Little Abner, and Fade Out, Fade In, as well as the role of Bassanio in The Merchant of Venice with the Shakespeare Forum. He's also been seen at Soho Playhouse, Nymph, Ars Nova, and created the role of Supernova in Superhero Celebrity Rehab, which received the 2012 Best of DC Capital Fringe. Recent workshops include Be More Chill, Annie Golden Bounty Hunter Yo by Joe Iconis for Two River Theater in Cap 21, and I Spy Spy by Soo Hee Yoon and Jamie Jackson at The Playroom. He's an activist and producer of Musematch, a not-for-profit concert series that has created 45 collaborations and raised thousands of dollars for charity. Obviously, I am talking about Bill Coyne. Bill Coyne, thanks for being on my show.
Wow, that bio is just so much.
So much, yeah.
Oh my God, that's awful.
It's like so pretentious.
I think,
like,
I cut it
he
down.
He studied at RADA. Oh my God.
Yeah, but I think it's important that people hear their bios from time to time.
Just yeah.
Just to kind of check in and be like, you know what?
My purpose on this planet is valid. Like,
yeah.
This curriculum vitae makes me feel better about
Keep
myself.
It up. Yeah, right? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good. I'm really great. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm happy to be here.
You're going to sing a tune, and that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, super cool tune. And
oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Well, So how do we know each other? Did we meet through Tiffin?
We met through Tiffin Borelli, the incredibly talented,
the amazing
Tiffin
Borelli.
I know this is like the Tiffin Borelli plug,
always.
Obligatory Tiffin Borelli
Every
plug
episode
of the podcast.
Has one if you listen carefully.
Yeah, she's a mystical creature. we met through Tiffin. I don't know if we met at her. We didn't meet at her wedding, or maybe we did, but we. I think
it's such a blur.
Yeah, it's such a blur. But
were you
since
one of the singers?
No, I didn't sing, but I was definitely there, and I was actually like horribly ill. Like, it was, like,
what
real
is that
bad. No, I don't know. Well, like, I'm never sick, but I was, like, horribly ill, and I didn't tell anybody, but I was literally, like, going off into, like, it was on a farm, and I was literally, like, going off behind the barn and, like, chugging, like, a bottle of, like, Mylanta that I had, because I was, like, I had, like, major issues. Like,
oh,
and I've never
said,
this is so gross.
Wow.
I don't know why I'm talking about
this,
but
cool.
I am.
No, it's cool. I love it.
Yeah, but we met at Tiffin's wedding, and then we became fast friends,
Absolutely.
And we have a lot of mutual friends and collaborators from Musematch.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote for Musematch, and you know,
did.
We
was
the Guthries, the fabulous
Guthrie
Van
Winkle's
clan. Yeah.
She's a Nevermore now.
She's a Nevermore.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one non-Canadian. So she's representing America.
The whole country.
She is representing America at New World Stages in the new Edgar Allan Poe musical. God bless her. I hope it lasts a lot
amazing.
Longer than Greed did. And several other shows that go there. But I really hope it lasts. But yeah, she's super talented, and she's the only American who was put into that show. So like everybody else has been working with that show, and she is the one. So if that just, you know, doesn't tell you how formidable her talent
is. She's so good.
She's so good.
I'm seeing it Monday.
That's awesome. Oh, great. I didn't know they were...
Oh, yeah, in previews.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great. Well, I'll have to check it out. A New World Sages. Never More the Musical.
I'm so good at this. I like love radio. I love radio. I listen.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I love it.
Something new devotees will recognize the smooth timbre of Bill's voice. From three previous occasions, he totally podcast-bombed Tiffin's episode last season to plug Musematch 2, which I was a part of.
Yes.
And then you sang in the Something New live concert at 54 Below last summer.
So fun.
And he was man 2 on the original online digital cast recording of my song Cycle Standalone. So I've just been...
For posterity, in case anybody's taking notes, I was on the digital... Oh my god, it's so funny.
The online digital cast, original online digital cast recording.
Yeah, that was so much fun. That was so much fun. We had a great time. What a great cast. Marianne Torres.
Hansel Jenny.
Tan and Jenny Neal Baldwin. Just like really great people. Oh my god, that guitar player.
Daniel
that guitar
Kim.
Was so, that was honey. That was so much fun. And
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you're fun to play with.
That was fun.
Which is why I keep asking you to play with me. I'm so glad you keep saying yes.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to.
Bill Coyne, ladies and gentlemen, is an amazing actor, singer, producer, and his self-coined title, Actorvist, which I'm pretty obsessed with.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's like, I can't take full credit for that. I think my friend Eric Lieberman, who I don't know if you know, but he did the first Musematch concert. Eric is an incredible artist and an incredible human being and a mentor of mine.
Bill Coyne... Where do you come from? Like, where are you from? Like, what did you...
My mother bore me.
Yes.
Mother who bore me. No, I'm from the Jersey Shore. Like, I'm from Wall Township. Right. It's about an hour south of here. So I grew up... like, I always joke, and my parents always say, it's like, you know, what more could you want? You know, like, we grew up a five-minute bike ride from the beach. I had, like, a community theater, the Spring Lake Community Theater that I was a big part of. You know, it's a beautiful town. There's a lot of green. It's just beautiful. It's like a really nice area. I had a great childhood, so like I loved that.
And is that community theater where you found musical theater for
the
first time?
Oh, yeah, totally. I actually just went back there to do a fundraiser. The Spring Lake Community Theater is an amazing place. It's been there led by this woman, Patricia Barry, and she basically took over the theater, and they've been doing Scrooge, their own version of Scrooge, for like 30 years, and all of the proceeds go to... the local homeless. They have a children's workshop, which is where I first found my love of theater.
No.
It was once a week for 1 hour. You went down into the basement of the theater and did dance with Miss Marie Barone. Chasse, chasse, ball change. Billy, Billy. Like, just like with her Chanel earrings and like the big Staten Island hair. Like, she was amazing. And then, you know, we did an hour of singing, an hour of acting, and that was where I first... And then it would culminate every year in the spring in a production. So we did Free to Be You and Me and How to Eat Like a Child. But then you did my first role ever. I was Albert Peterson in Bye Bye Birdie.
No.
When I was in second grade. Yeah, so much fun.
Wow.
So much fun. And yeah, it was all because of my best friend Kevin. He was doing it, and I was like, I want to hang out with Kevin, Mom! And then so, like, I went to the theater, because I sounded like that.
Yeah, I was like, naturally. I like the role of young Bill.
The young Bill, played by, like, a squeaky part of Bill's register. Come on, Mom, I just want to play with Kevin. Take me to the theater and pay $100 a month. Come on.
You sound like the gingerbread man from the Shrek movies.
Oh, my God.
Or something.
Dear Diary.
Or John Tartaglia.
John Tartaglia. John Tartaglia all the time. That's how he sounds. No, John Tartaglia is awesome. He's actually amazing. John Tartaglia, I auditioned for John Tartaglia for
Imaginotion?
No, not Imaginotion. He was doing, did you ever see that movie Because of Winn-Dixie? Where Matthews has, like, Dave Matthews is an actor in it, and he's fabulous, but John Tartaglia directed this project, and they did it at Goodspeed, and then they did it at Arkansas Rep, and, like, I just remember auditioning for him. And he was just the loveliest person to be, like, an auditor in an audition. He was so kind and generous of spirit. He's just, like, a warm presence as opposed to, like, you walk in the room,
go. Like, you know, like, whatever. Like, some of these, some of the auditioning is one
of
the weirdest things.
They literally say go?
No, I just remember the one really bad audition experience I've ever had was, I was in, yeah, I like, we were, it was like 5 or 6 years ago. I was like right out of school. I had just gotten my equity card, but it was a non-equity slash equity call for this production of Les Mis. And they lined all of us up in rows in a room. It was almost like we were lining up for a dance combo, but we had to sing like, do you hear the people sing? Like that part, like we had to do like 8 bars of it. Like, but it was like the end, like the crescendo. So it's literally like, okay, everyone, I want you to sing in the break of your voice for 8 bars, like no prep, no emotional prep, no arc or context. Go, go, go. And we all did it like sheep. It was like we were like at a state fair. It was so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah. But it was fun. Like, I mean, it was fun. Like, you know, you can't take anything personally in this business. It's like some people are so kind and generous, and like some people are like, you have no talent. Like, my voice teacher was telling me, Matt Farnsworth, he's the best in the city. I love him. He was saying how a very prominent New York casting director told his agents that he had no talent and then that he should leave the business. And then one month later, he cast him in a leading role in a Broadway show. A month later. So, you know, that's why, like, that's been the biggest lesson of, like, my later 20s. Like, not taking anything personally and just, like, really enjoying the work and having fun and not taking yourself so seriously. You know, like, I'm a f***ing actor. I'm such an actor. I have to suffer. You know?
Feelings.
Yeah.
I like them on the stage.
Yeah, I work so hard to do this.
Where's the mom?
I work so hard to be Skippy John Jones, you know? Like, I mean, like, people, it's amazing. I see, like, you know, that energy and that spirit is, you know, fear and scarcity, and that's like the last thing that we as artists need to bring to the world. We need to bring hope and love and joy to the world, because there's so much of that energy out in the world, and we're playing a game. We're playing a magical game of pretend for other people's enjoyment, and that's like the best thing that we could do. And yet there's this energy that, you know, I mean, it's a balancing act. You have to take the work seriously but not take yourself super seriously.
I like that. We could leave right there. But
yeah, we could just
leave. I just love
ending that right there.
There's a little chestnut.
Take that home with you guys.
Yeah, put it in your pocket. Share it. And I think that you definitely, you live by your own code, and I see so much love and joy and hope in the things that you produce, especially Muse Match. So I wanted to talk about, I've had a lot of performers / producers on this show, which I'll get into in a moment, but I was wondering, when did you first have that itch to create from, like, this bigger picture mindset? Was Muse Match your first foray?
Yeah, Muse Match was there's a theater in Asbury Park called the Revision Theater, and they've since, they are currently in operation, but they propped up a few years ago, and I'm from that area. That's where my dad grew up, and it's 5 minutes from my childhood house, and I produced and directed a holiday concert fundraiser for them to, you know, kind of encourage the growth of the company. And that was my first foray into that sort of thing, you know, outside of being an actor. I mean, like, I always help people. People, you know, respect my eye. And so, like, I'll help my friends who are actors when they have callbacks or something. Like, I'll be that person who plays their mother across from them in the audition with the sides. Or, you know, I'll work with people on things because, like, you know, I have a lot of fun doing it. But, Muse Match was created out of a desire to just change the culture, you know, out of fear and scarcity, or, you know, just to get people together to write a song inspired by them, because, you know, so often I feel like a lot of artists, this is a consistent complaint I would hear from a lot of artists, being like, how do I, you know, like, I don't know how to meet people, I don't know how to, like, and it's like, well, it's simple, you just go out and you f***ing meet people. Like, you know, you say, hey, what are you doing? And I think a lot of it's just, like, genuinely being interested in somebody else. And
I'm just like, how can you help me?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, like, one of the things that is, you know, a reality of any career at all. Like, there are people who, you know, in any career, you have to know somebody to get a job interview. You have to know somebody to get put in a position, all these things. You have to have connections to somebody who went to the college to write your letter of recommendation. That's how the world works. And, like, you just have to accept that. But, you know, part of Muse Match was, okay, like, how do I give people an opportunity to meet in a fresh way? And so I was like, well, if I designed this concert where, you know, like you were part of it. I have a composer.
So much fun.
I have a composer meet a singer they don't know, and I give them 5 questions that are designed to kind of get them to pierce through all of the bullshit of their life and get down to the core of who they are and what they want and what they love, what they're afraid of, what like is real and authentic about them. And then out of that, the writer is inspired to write something by those stories, and they create it together. I mean, it kind of becomes its own thing. Different pairings have different results. Like sometimes it's just like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to write for you. And then the writer will go off and write something and then come back and say, here it is. And then other times, like I've been privy to, which has been such a joy for me to like watch a composer and a singer kind of co-author the song together, which is so beautiful to watch people kind of say like, oh, well this, what about if we change the lyric to that? Like, would you be down with that? And then they're like, yeah, totally. And it's just, it's really cool because it gives artists a little agency in the authoring of the work, which I think is fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was starting to make a list of all the guests over the past 2 years who probably or definitely call themselves producers, like Liz Ulmer of Ulmer Theatricals, David Hudson of 3 Day Hangover, Justin Pasito of Group Theater 2, to name a few. And I realized that all of my guests are producers. Because you're all creating opportunities for yourself and as well as others. So why, Bill Coyne, why do you think that's a recurring theme?
Well, I think, like, you know, the world we live in, it's not like, you know, Marlon Brando loading the meat truck and Tennessee Williams being like, I want that guy to play Stanley Kowalski. It doesn't happen that way anymore. You know, like, we live in a world where we have these little smartphones and we can record an audition on our smartphone to send instantly to LA for, you know, I remember I was in my apartment last year during pilot season and my agent was like, that's self-tape, they loved it, can you send something like within the hour? And I was like, shit. Like I had loaned out my camera, so I like put my iPhone like on my roommate's dresser and like positioned it, and I had to like sing like a song. It was like one of those pilots of all, you know, like Gallivant, where it's like a singing thing. But like that's the world we live in now, and it's just, there's so much content like driving the market, it's so saturated. And the biggest thing for me is, like, I just think you need to create to keep your spirit alive, to keep your hunger. And also, you know, creating opportunities for others, like, enriches your spirit and your desire to be a part of it. You know, like, I felt like a great sense of joy watching my friends, giving my friends and people who I believe in for different reasons an opportunity to share themselves and share their talent. It's like, it's amazing. And the best part about it is, like, you know, a lot of people reach out to me and like, oh, that's so amazing that you do that. And it's like, I actually do very little. Like, I do very little. I basically set up the space. I do like a lot of administrative work, but then like all of the work is like their bravery, like sharing themselves. And then I kind of sit back and it, like, I actually have the best time doing it because like I sit at the back of 54 Below in the banquette and I like watch somebody tell a story and like have a cathartic experience. And, you know, I watch all of these people who have come and some people don't know them. And it's just an opportunity for artists to share themselves. And the best part is people find each other there. You know, because there are all these 15 or 18 new collaborations, and like one composer will be paired with somebody, but then they'll see somebody else in the concert, be like, oh my God, that song, I love you, I want to work with you, and they're inspired. And
absolutely,
it's like, action leads to inspiration. You know, like, you don't, there's that famous quote, like, you know, what do? Like, you're a writer, like, how do you, like, you know, do you wait until you're inspired, or do you just write? And he's like, oh no, absolutely. I totally wait until I'm inspired. Luckily, every day my inspiration comes when I sit down at my typewriter at 8:30 in the morning.
You know, because he shows
it's
up.
It's really true.
That's really
you gotta
funny.
Show
yeah,
up.
That's
you
all
gotta
I got.
Show up, I mean, and you gotta be brave. I mean, you gotta have heart and tenacity and just an indefatigable spirit to do what we do. I mean, there's just so many people here. This is New York City. You know, nobody comes here to hang out. We're here to move and shake
move
and make
shake,
something
shake
happen
and
change the world, you know?
What wasn't happening that made you put on the producer hat? Was there something that, like, you took a look at the landscape and you're like, you know what's not present here? Something like Muse Match? Or
Oh, well, like, I can speak to that on two levels. Like, on a personal level and, like, on the state of the industry level. So, like, do you want me to do both
Let's
or
do
one?
Both.
Okay.
Let's do both. Let's get real.
Well, like, on a personal level, I was at a lull in, like, my own personal career. Like, I had had, like, a lot of momentum with a lot of great projects and workshops and callbacks for Broadway shows. And I just, like, was in this state of constant, like, unrest, and like it wasn't a happy thought for me. Like, it was like, oh, I have a callback for a Broadway show, like, oh, like that's not a, the end didn't the means didn't justify the end at that point.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So and then I looked around, and to be honest, like I'm an empathic person, like I'm a sensitive person, and I try to, you know, listen to my friends when they talk, and I found like just the lack of inspiration amongst a lot of artists and the frustration. And I was like, well, what can you do with that that's actually productive? And I was like, well, why don't we produce, you know, why don't we get back to the why? You know what I mean? Getting back to the why. Like, why do people sing? Because it brings joy to the world. It, like, literally changes the air. It disturbs the air. There's a vibration. There's a joy. There's a, you know, a spiritualness about it. And, you know, for me, I saw what the landscape was, and I just saw a lot of energy about people, like, going to concerts and being like, I want them to write for me. Why aren't they writing for me? Or, I want to do this. I'll do this, but I don't know how. And I was like, well, I'm just going to create. I didn't know how to do it. I just said, well, I'm going to create a space where people can write. And also, like, I feel like, in general, musical theater right now is at a very interesting time, because it's very hard to get new work produced that isn't previously like a film property, or like, you know, like Fox Films owns the rights to the Addams Family, and then they're going to commission Andrew Lippa to write it, and it's like, great. And but there's so many interesting stories in everyday life, you know, like people, I know some amazing people who have amazing stories. Like, I mean, I remember when you shared with me like your story about how you wrote Sleeping Giant, and that was just so compelling and beautiful, and it changed, it like changed the way I listened to the song, because it's like a real life story. It's a real human story that is so compelling, and there is that in the everyday, and I think we take that for granted. And also, like, I was just so tired of those damn musical theater songs where, like, oh my god, I'm in my 20s and I don't know what to do, and my dad'll never justify me, or like, you know, whatever. Like, just like the ridiculous, like, just whiny, like, and just say, like, f it, let's make something. Let's just go and throw it against the wall, and I don't know. I just wanted to, like, do something that had
wonderful.
Yeah, had some heart.
Yeah. I feel like I've written that song at some point.
Oh my god, every musical theater
We've
has.
All written that.
Everybody has. Everybody who pretends that they don't write songs like that has written four or five.
That's right.
I mean, like, look, like, we're like rich white people who, like, go to NYU or BMI or, like, whatever, and, like, that's the world we live in, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's, we're right,
and then you grow
we
up.
Have the luxury to write songs. Like, first world problems. There are people across the ocean in cages right now, and, like, we live in a world where that's a reality, and, like, but
and
people get so dramatic about, like, oh my god, like, I'm not winning this award, or, like, oh my god, this casting director doesn't like me. It's like, it's so silly. It's just silly.
I love that even in your personal bio, you are crediting writers. I almost took their names out for time's sake, and I was like, no, he put their names in here for a reason. I'm going to continue to say the names. When did you first become such an avid advocate for us writers?
I don't know. You know, like, when I was in NYU, I got to work with Joe Iconis a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Joe?
Yes.
Everybody knows Joe Iconis. Yay, Joe! Joe's an amazing writer, and something that I really admire about Joe is he is himself. You know, like, he...
Mm-hmm.
has a huge heart, and he writes from that place. And, like, I've worked over the years with him a bunch. I'm like, I wouldn't call myself part of the Joe Iconis family, but I'm an extended family member in a way. Like, I always do something with him.
A distant cousin.
Yeah, like, I'm like a distant cousin, like, you know,
once
the
removed.
Cousin who's like once from, yeah, yeah. But, no, I just love, his, like, ferocity with which he writes, and the heart that you know, it takes to put yourself out there. And, like, he writes from a place of himself a lot. Mm-hmm. So I love a lot of his stories. And, like, you guys are wild and creative. And, like, if we didn't have you, I mean, we wouldn't have the words, you know? I mean, like, you know, you guys are defenders of language. And it's, like, such a... Well, it's true. Like, we live in a world where language is at siege every day.
Oh, yeah. Emojis.
LOL emojis. Emojis. Yeah, literally. It's, like, total desensitization. Thank you very much. I studied at the Rosie Perez School of Elocution. we live in a world where words are important. Your word, you are your word to people. You know, like you... And I don't know, I just love the union of working with a writer on something new. You know, that's the best part, when you have agency in the work. Like, I've worked with Joe, I've worked with you, and you're like, oh, like, can you do this? And I was like, well, how about this shape here? And you're like, oh, wait, actually, that's awesome. That's really cool. Or you're like, you know, actually, like, I wrote it like that, like, for this reason. And then I'm like, oh, totally, I'm totally on board with what you're saying, I'm going to take that and go. And, like, that's the best part about it. The human interaction, I guess, is my that's, like, our bridge to each other, like this language that you've written for us to interpret. And it's like us fulfilling it or breaking your expectation or taking what your imagination was and fleshing it out in a whole new way that excites you is the best part about our job. It's so fun being an actor for that reason.
Talk me through the MuseMatch collaborative process.
Okay.
Because you approach songwriters and you approach actors.
Yeah.
And then you put them together, and they don't know each other. Is that really important?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there have been a couple of cases where, like, people would know. I mean, it's a small town, it's a small industry, so, like, people know of people, but I think it's really important for people to meet fresh, in a fresh way, and that's why the design of the questions is there. So it would work, because a lot of the people know people, but they don't actually know each other, because, like, so much of it is, like, so much of our business is like, oh, being the nicest person or like ingratiating yourself to someone who can give you a job. So why not like ask these questions that kind of get you to zero or get you to this very naked place where you can be real with each other? And that's like been the best part. Like I watch people who have wound up becoming friends, collaborators. I pick people who inspire me. Like, I usually, it's so funny, I always feel like such a creep, because sometimes, like, I'll, like, Facebook message somebody who I saw in a concert, and it's, like, always weird, because, like, if it's a girl, I feel like they're automatically on the defense, like, is he a predator, right. Like, what? But, like, no, it's just, like, you have a really great warm tone, so I really want you to do, or it's, like, the way you, like, told that emotional story, like, in that song, like, I'm interested, like, you know, Yeah, I just find people who inspire me, like, and people who have inspired people who I am in the world with. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it started. And it's been so amazing so far. Like, you know, I'm sitting here, and you obviously participated, and it was so great.
We had so much fun.
That concert was such a great night.
That was a great night.
Great night.
And I'm still, like, I didn't know my actor, Ryan Speakman.
Yeah.
At all.
And Ryan's somebody who creates a lot of opportunities for people. He does Too Legit to Quit, and he also is doing this Bed Bug.
I know, it's hilarious.
What's it called? Is it called Diaries of a Bed Bug or something?
Confessions of a Bed Bug. Something like that.
We'll find out the right name.
Yeah.
But Ryan's doing that, and that's on the YouTube, and it's really funny. But yeah, like Ryan's...
He's one of my favorite people now. Like
Well, that's a cool thing. Like, I don't pick people who suck.
That's true.
And there are people who suck in the world, like people who are totally selfish. Like, that's like the spirit of the concert. I mean, like, we haven't talked about this, but there's no financial benefit for anybody involved. Like, I lose money. So if you're a wealthy person and you want to get in touch with me, please do, because I would love somebody to help underwrite this and maybe do a matching contribution to the charity. But basically every concert, we pick a new charity. And this next concert coming up on March 7th at 54 Below, which is a Saturday at 11:30.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's a nice spot. Nice slot. We're going to be benefiting this organization that's out of Connecticut called Experience Camps. And basically, Experience Camps is a charity organization that provides a week-long camp for a child who's recently lost a parent. So it's like a... basically a group of people will take these young boys and girls who have lost parents and take them to a camp for a week and basically restore a sense of fun, joy, letting them know that they're cared for, love, mentorship, and they really provide a family for them. So it's like a really cool thing. I'm very excited to have our drummer Dave LeBlanc recommended the charity.
Okay.
And so far we have had 45 new songs and several thousand dollars donated to the Boys Club of New York, Zara Ina, and the Trevor Project. So I'm looking forward to continuing the momentum, and I just took on a director, Ashley Rodbro.
Okay.
Who is an incredible theater maker. She's a dramaturg, director, a playwright. She's stage managed. She worked at Richard Kleiman, the general manager who did Cinderella on Broadway. She's like an incredible theater mind, as well as I've also taken on a partner in a creative producer, Stephanie Cowan, who works at Beast Weibel Productions/Playing Pretend. That's the company, and they produce Xanadu and Cubby Bernstein.
Okay.
And George Bush, like, I Love You, You're Welcome, America, the Will Ferrell show, they produce that. And Stephanie is a great mind and very passionate, and she's very excited. And I'm just looking forward to building the brand and, like, spreading the spirit of, art as contribution, like, fulfilling the intention of what art really is, like, giving back. And it's really great because you get to see people, like, have a cathartic experience, and all of the money goes to some people in need, which is really cool.
It's really, really
cool. Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah.
Is this the fourth one or the fifth one?
Fourth. Dear God. I know.
It's like a whistle.
It was like a calendar. It's 4 year is, like, about how many I'm doing, and it's a lot. Like, it's a lot. Yeah, but it's been great. I mean, like, after this one, we'll have 60 new songs and thousands of dollars and 60 new collaborations, and hopefully...
My jaw is a gate.
Yeah, guys. Well, like, hopefully, like, you know, that leads to, you know, 60 new partnerships, but, you know, there are all of those other combinations. Oh, my God, I saw you in this concert. You're amazing. I want to write for you, or I'm inspired to write. And, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, if I could say anything about it, it's just keeping the energy and spirit of hope and staying in action about, you know, about creating stuff. It's, like, really cool. And when you find people who are hungry and who keep working, like, present company totally included in that, like, you create this podcast and give people a forum to discuss and create an audience for us to share with, which is really great and beautiful. And you're also up to so much as a writer, which is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, but that's what it's about. It's about staying in action.
It's exactly what it's about. And I was trying to find an accompanist for today, and I got Mike Petrie, who's amazing.
Good old Mike Petrie.
And everything he does, and he...
The Light Princess just was at ART, coming to the New Victory this year. He was a Muse Match.
I know.
He was a Muse Matcher.
And so I was when I was emailing him the song files and stuff, and I was like, oh, do you know... And before I finished the sentence, do you know Bill Coyne? I was like, of course you know Bill Coyne, because you did Muse Match.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just find that so exciting, and I love introducing you to new people that I know.
Yeah, well, it's great. It's like a community. It's like a community. That's what it. That's what it's about. And, like, that's the biggest thing. Like, I don't mean to harp on, like, the way the state of things are, because things are great the way they are. There's a lot of new musicals and a lot of new works, and there are a lot of fresh faces.
Tons of new musicals
and like
right now.
People coming out. But, like, you know, there used to be, like, a degree of mentorship that is in a real sense of community, and, like, I really try to keep that going, perpetuate that, you know, and that's what Muse Match is about, just finding, like, a little club of people, but an inclusive and club.
Absolutely.
Inclusive. Yeah.
You have not sung a song for Muse Match yet.
No.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do you think it'll happen?
I just know... Like, look, like, if you're a writer and you want to write something for me, like, you've been so great, and you've written stuff for me, and, like, been like, hey, come sing this tune I wrote, you know, like, that's awesome. But I don't know, it's just, like, one of those things, like, you know, starring Bill Coyne, directed by Bill Coyne, written by Bill Coyne, produced by Bill Coyne's parents, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to be like that. A lot of people have asked me that, but, like, I'd so much rather, I couldn't do it. I MC the evening, mm-hmm. so I couldn't MC and then be like, and now introducing the incredibly talented. Have you ever seen, there's this ridiculous, it's one of the last Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau movies called Out to Sea.
I've not seen Out to Sea.
Well, the guy who played Data on Star Trek.
Brent Spiner.
He's so talented. He plays this kind of smarmy cruise ship host.
Nice.
And so he introduces himself for the shows, and he's like, and now, the incredibly talented Gilt, whatever his name is. And then he walks out, and he's like, hello! And it's just like, but he's very serious. It's not like, no one's in on that joke. Yeah. And it's like, I would feel very gross about it if I were to sing at the concert I produce. Like,
right.
I'm very much like an exclusive... I wear one hat at a time.
Yeah,
I wear one hat at a time. Yeah,
that's okay.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, but I would love to do that. Like, I think those guys are the interesting guys, like the George Clooney's, like, who direct and produce and act. Like, I love that. I love people who do that. Lin-Manuel Miranda in our world is somebody who I find incredibly inspiring.
Absolutely.
So cool. I'm
trying to get him on the show.
Oh, my God. Lin-Manuel Miranda, you don't... You know who I am, but I don't care. You need to come on the show.
Please. We should talk. I want to talk about Hamilton.
And you're 35 years old, and I don't know anybody who is 35 who has accomplished as much as you have
in
our industry, and also simultaneously made me feel so and unaccomplished.
And just had a baby.
Oh, my God.
Like,
he's like killing it.
Yeah.
He's killing it. And he just did... I don't know if you saw Merrily at Encores, but he was
I did.
So,
and I saw Tick, Tick, Boom.
He was so good. I heard he was amazing in Tick,
he
Tick,
was
Boom.
Amazing.
I didn't get to see that, but I saw him in Merrily, and I was just like...
Right?
So good.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what's exciting. I mean, he was, you know, writing... In the Heights, was it the Nymph, right? It started at the Nymph or something? Or
did
the
it?
Fringe?
I mean, like, he started,
I think it started
like,
at
in
the
college.
I think it started at the Nymph. I mean, like, that's what's the coolest part about this industry. Like, people don't realize, like, it takes so long to get a show off the ground. Like, 7 years is, like, what they say. And, I mean,
God,
like,
I
you know, Stephen Lutvak and is it Robert Friedman have been working for years to get Gentleman's Guide.
I know.
And finally, they're having it up. And, you know, it just, it takes a lot of, it takes a grit. You gotta have grit.
Mm-hmm.
He's got grit. He's a cool guy.
Or
super
madness.
Inspiring. Yeah, we're insanity. Yeah, you have to be a total masochist to do this.
Now, we've already talked quite a bit about this being a non-for-profit, but I was curious, when did that idea, like, come into play? Was that always...
Yeah, well, like, I just wanted, like, going back to what we talked about with, like, going back to the why, like, what's the why? Like, nobody says, like, I want to play Reno Sweeney so I can make millions of dollars. Like, nobody says, like... No one says it, but, like, the reality is, like, nobody, and I mean, like, even, like, Broadway famous, like, people who are famous between 14th Street and 72nd Street, you know, nobody knows who the hell they are downtown, or nobody...
Right.
Nobody... They're not making any money. Like, they're not making anything, like, in the world we live in. Like, you know, we're downtown, like, people's Christmas bonuses are, like, what... we make in several years, you know?
Right.
Nobody goes into it for that reason. We go into it for the joy and for the art. And, like, you know, I like the idea of creating something from nothing. And, like, it's a gift. And it's like the why is it's a gift. You feel compelled to give it. And so that's why I wanted to fulfill on the intention of, like, art as contribution. So that's, like, it's always been, like, I never wanted to make it a money-making venture. Like, I knew that was never, like, something I was interested in at this point. I mean, like, who knows if, I know a lot of producers and a lot of people actually asked me to start, you know, being like, hey, like, we were thinking about having you come on as a fundraiser and, like, we'll give you a couple points and then that way it'll work. And I'm like, wait, you want me to, like, help produce your show? Like, that's so weird to me. It's
mm-hmm.
so foreign, but I guess people think...
You're doing it.
People think I'm a producer now. Well, I mean, like, I am, but...
Well, you are, yeah.
Well, I am, but, like, I'm... I mean, I know I don't... You know, it's hilarious. I mean, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, like, there are people like Jen Tepper, you know, Jennifer Ashley Tepper,
mm-hmm.
to be, like, you know...
Yeah, get the
PC,
whole name out
get
there.
The whole name out there. She's somebody, I mean, I've known, we went to college together, you know, like, and I know Jen, like, when she was doing this Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS thing, so we were junior, or she just, like, said, I want to do this, and started it. And then she's like, I'm going to produce Joe Iconis' shit. And, like, he's like, okay. And so they started just doing it, and she just makes it happen. She figures it out, and now she's
mm-hmm.
a freaking published author, and
yeah.
she's the director of programming at 54 Below, and... She got there because she said she was going to do stuff. You know,
mm-hmm.
she just said, hey, I'm going to do it. And then
she
figured it out later.
Not
yeah.
just said it.
No, she said it and she did it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she walked the walk. She does. She's really cool. There, I mean, you know, there are a lot of cool people. You gotta, you gotta back up the talk though. You know, and she's legit. There are a lot of people who say like, "Oh, I want to do this," and it's like, "Okay, go make it." Mm-hmm. You know, you're one of those people. You know, your show.
Well, thank you.
You know, we did that 54 Below concert, which was great, super fun,
huge. I'm still exhausted.
Yeah, you're like, I just woke up. I just woke up.
Just in time to do this. June. Yeah.
When was that? In June?
August. Yeah.
So fun.
Thank you.
Super talented people and great voices.
You know what I enjoy about interviewing you, Bill Coyne? We've gone on several tangents where we're just talking about how good someone else is.
Yeah.
I've kind of enjoyed, you know, it's my job to kind of, like, veer us back. Oh, okay. But, like, I've been in...
My analyst or my therapist would say, like, he doesn't like talking about himself. Not that my analyst is, like, a Jewish lady or something.
Yeah, from, like, the 90s.
Yeah, it's from the 90s. Yeah, it's from, like, the 1950s. Like, Like, no. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I can talk about myself. I'm like, I love being an artist, and I think, like, the thing that makes me, like, a true theater person is the fact that, like, I really enjoy people. Like, I really enjoy other people. So that's why I do what I do.
No.
Because it's like, it literally can't happen by myself. Like, you can't do a musical in your apartment by yourself.
I mean, you can, but it feels
Yeah,
sad.
But it's a little strange, and it could be psychotic. Like,
very
you know,
sad.
Whereas,
no.
Yeah, but, like, you know... Stuff happens in our world because people come together and everybody brings something to the party. Are you working on
something? Well, now comes the time to set up the song.
Okay, cool.
Bill was kind enough to learn and perform a song, a trunk song from McKenzie and the Missing Boy called Strong Silent Type. And I asked him to do it. Yeah, it's a trunk song, but it's also, I included it in my first digital songbook, The Songs of Joel B. New, Volume 1. Which is now available for free on Noise Trade. I picked the song because it's in the book, and I think I put it in the book for a very good reason, which is I think it helped shape the musical score that the whole show started to go down. I wrote this song maybe in 2012, probably earlier. It was for an earlier incarnation of McKenzie and the Missing Boy, where the heroine McKenzie was married to this greedy, scheming, low-down, no-good writer, who is not me, by the way. Bill asked if, because when he found out that the character was a writer,
yeah,
if it was like secretly me.
Well, you know, it's the Jason Robert Brown effect.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like the.
I mean, I have made cameos in my shows before, but hopefully this character, maybe he's part of me. They all are, but this song gave the audience like a sneak peek into the motives and darkness that hid just below his surface, parts that our heroine refused to see. My dear friend Richie Portella recorded a demo of this for me when I first wrote it, but this is actually the first time the song is being heard in quote-unquote public, so I'm very excited.
That's really cool. I'm very honored.
Yeah.
It's smoky with a little spice.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super fun. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I like it.
You're such
a
dude, and it's a dude song, which I love.
Dude songs.
Dude songs. That's my next album. Accompanied by Mike Petrie on the piano, who we already talked about, who's an amazing composer lyricist in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
And his musical, The Light Princess, is opening February 27th at the New Victory.
That's so cool.
It is really, really cool. And it's better than Tori Amos's adaptation. That's all I'm going to say.
Whoa.
I'm laying it down.
Whoa.
You're welcome, Mike.
He's got the claws out.
Boom.
He's got the claws
out. Dropped the mic.
Tori Amos, you are on notice. Mike Petrie's coming for you. He's like a ferocious honey badger. He's ready to rip out that jugular.
Yeah, it's princess on princess. Ain't gonna be pretty.
Oh my god.
I just wanted to go on record. Remember, if you like the song, Bill's live recording will be available on SoundCloud and the individual sheet music on Noise Trade, both free downloads until the next episode.
Super cool.
Yeah. Be sure to become a premium subscriber. Perfect investment for voice teachers, burgeoning musical theater writers, and my fellow Broadway nerds in general. Follow me on all things social media, and you may find those links and so much more on joelbnew.com. Make sure you visit Bill's website, which is Bill Coyne Online.
Yeah, that's right. My domain name, BillCoyne.com, was taken, so it's
really?
BillCoyneOnline.com.
Who's Bill Coyne?
I don't know. Like, Bill Coyne was like a congressman in Pittsburgh.
No.
Yeah, there's another Bill Coyne.
Ugh.
I'm actually William F. Coyne III.
You know, actually, I did know that because I did an image search for you.
And it came up under William F. Coyne
mm-hmm.
III.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy.
I won't tell you why I was
looking
for your
just image. Imagine my psychology right now. I'm William F. Coyne III. Yep.
Wow. Well, go to, make sure you, after you go to BillCoin.com, go to BillCoinOnline.com.
There we go.
Follow Bill on Twitter. Do you tweet a lot?
I tweet a fair bit. I retweet a lot. Like, I'm at BillCoin Speaks. That's my Twitter handle.
And MuseMatch has its own Twitter.
Yeah, right, MuseMatch is at MuseMatch.org. Check out the MuseMatch page on Facebook. It's MuseMatch, a musical theater blind date. And also check out the MuseMatch channel on YouTube. All the videos are up there. They're super fun. And if you guys are interested or inspired by those writers, their names are on there, those actors, reach out, write a song for them, give them a job.
Subscribe to, rate, review this podcast, tell your friends all about it. Also, I realized today that the last 4 of my 5 guests have been men. But if all goes as planned, I've got at least 3 ladies coming onto the show between now and March.
God damn it.
I know. I just...
You are such a gender... you're gender exclusive. You're so... You hate women. Shut up. All of your songs are written... You write so many songs for women. You're like one of the few composers I know who like write songs for women more than men, I think.
Really?
Yeah. You're really balanced. You're very fairly balanced.
Thank you. Well, I'm trying. I'm writing this whole damn show about McKinsey, and so it's pretty girl heavy, and I'm like, I need to get some more girls in here. So anyway, I just wanted to make that point.
It's a woman's world, man.
It is.
We're just living in it.
And also an exciting announcement, talking about taking agency and throwing your hat over the fence. As if I weren't busy enough, I'm producing a solo concert where I'm singing my own stuff.
That's awesome! Where and when?
It's happening Friday, April 24th at 9:30 at the Duplex.
Awesome!
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. They're great.
Yeah,
they're great.
I love them. I did one, I did a Duplex show in November, and I had a great time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really super great. That's awesome.
So, it's the very first time where I am
singing
my own stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have a band, or is it just you?
I haven't figured that part out yet. I mean, as of right now, it's just me and a piano, and me at the piano singing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
That's really great. That's news to me. I'm not feigning surprise or feigning enthusiasm. This is like actual
what?
Surprise.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's the first time hearing
radio is fun. I don't know if like there's just or podcast whatever we're calling it. I don't know if there's a natural knack for it, but I feel like I could do it. I feel like I could hang out on radio. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to sports radio. I loved Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. Such a great podcast. Did you listen to it?
I have not.
It's amazing. If you can download it, it's on iTunes, but download the one with him and Elaine Stritch.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's amazing.
I'm going to look
for it. It's amazing. Because she played his mother on a 30 Rock.
So
there's a great complicity between the two of them. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
And something new. I'm sure you listen to something new.
I totally listen to something new.
Special thanks today to Peyton Royal at Website Lines, Stephanie Layton at Red Scandal Graphics, Mike Petrie, who accompanied Bill today, True Voice Studios NYC, 212-245-2441. The space is perfect for voice lessons, group classes, coachings, recording, and singer showcases. Contact Colleen Spencer and tell her that you heard about the studio on Something New. And last but not least, BillCoin, thank you for being on my show.
Thank you, Joel. This is such a good time.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
We're just like two dudes here, just hanging out. I wonder, like, hopefully everybody likes it. Like, you know, hopefully people are like, oh, I'm just listening to two people enjoy each other's company. What? Ugh. What's this?
This is gross.
I want to learn. I want to learn about the suffering that's involved in art.
I could be watching Mozart in the Jungle.
Yeah,
right
that's
now,
right.
On Amazon
I could be on
Prime.
The last episode of Serial and finding out what happened. Like, you know, like, I don't know.
From True Voice Studios NYC at Columbus Circle, this is Joel B. New.
And Bill Coyne.
Saying thank you for dropping by. For
something new.
You'll do that again?
Thank you for dropping by. Something new. No, just do it like that.
All right,
that's natural.
Nice and real.
All right, keeping it real.
Cool. Done.
For him, he's the strong, silent type. His heart was stolen by a cute kidnapper, with legs for days and days, a New York flapper. She was a real peach, so firm and right. Lucky for him, he's the strong, silent type. What's worse, his family turned their back, disowned him, tossed on the street like some god or snipe. Lucky for him, he's the strong, the silent type. Pages, feeling exhausted as a tailpipe. Lucky for him, he's the strong, silent.